Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Continuing our study of Romans chapter 1, we have come to the second declaration of God's wrath upon ungodly men. And we have learned that God's judgment initially consists of allowing people to pursue the sin that they desire to pursue. We read in Romans 1:24, "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves." And that is talking about allowing men and women, of course, to pursue their sexual desires, their ungodly sexual desires, their sexual desires outside of marriage. And that is the judgment of God. God gives them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. And why did God give them up? Because, as we saw in the first expression of God's righteous wrath, they rejected his truth, so he withdrew light. He allowed them to pursue their folly. He allowed them to pursue their false religion. And when they did, then they incurred a greater level of judgment. And so God judges them again, a second time now. And the form his judgment takes is allowing them to pursue immorality with less restraint. Now, folks, I hope you understand how clearly this is what is happening in America today. This is exactly what is happening in America today. Sometimes people say, if America doesn't turn back to God, I'm afraid God is going to have to judge America. I think we need to understand on the basis of Romans chapter 1 that God is already judging America. He has already withdrawn a great measure of the light that formerly he shed upon America. We're talking about spiritual truth, the knowledge of God. He has already allowed people in America to pursue folly, intellectual folly. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And there probably has never been a time in American history where there have been more people with college degrees and advanced degrees. We have more PhDs, we have more scientists, we have more people who consider themselves to be intellectual, who have been more foolish when it comes to spiritual matters, to godly truth, to things that pertain to God and morality. We have more fools today than probably ever in our history, and that's an evidence that God is judging America. He is allowing such folly to go unrestrained. And we have as much false religion in America today, more false religion in America today, than we've ever had before. And that's the judgment of God. He is allowing false religion to go unchecked. God is already judging America. Now, I think in the second expression of God's judgment, we need to recognize that there is a link between false religion and immorality. The last thing that men did in the first section that talks about God's first judgment was to give up true religion, the true worship of God, for false worship. And so we read in verse 23, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to beasts and four-footed, or to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And that's a description of idolatry. And we have plenty of idolatry in America today, not so much of the kind where idols are actually fashioned, but where men worship different aspects of the creation rather than the Creator. And then following that, wherefore we read in verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness. And I think we need to understand the relationship between idolatry and immorality, the relationship between false religion and immorality. We see it here in Romans chapter 1. Men pursue false religion, the worship of something other than God, and God gives them up to immorality. There's a relationship, there's a link here. If you go back to the Old Testament, you see that there was a very obvious link between idolatry and immorality. What was Israel doing when they pressured Aaron to fashion the golden calves to worship while Moses was up on the mountain, and the false gods, the idols, were made, or the idol, it was just one golden calf, and the people of Israel were down there worshiping that god, and how were they worshiping their idol? Well, apparently in immorality. A detailed description is not given, but that's the impression you get. When God told Moses to get down off the mountain and see what was going on in the valley below, and Moses and Joshua started down the mountain, and they heard the music, what they were hearing turned out to be an orgy, wild party, in connection with the worship of the golden calf. You don't worship Jehovah that way, but you worship the golden calf that way. That is why many people prefer a false religion to the true worship of God. The true worship of God requires morality and holiness, but a counterfeit religion allows immorality, even encourages it in many cases. Again, in the Old Testament, you find that whenever Israel left the worship of Jehovah and began to worship the idols of the nations around them, it was almost always accompanied with immorality. Check it out. That was the attraction of many of these false gods. The immorality that went with the worship. Sometimes even as an official part of the worship. As in having temple prostitutes and actually incorporating this kind of immorality into the worship of their god. A close connection between idolatry and immorality, a close connection between false religion and immorality, not in every instance, but in an awful lot of instances. And in America today, we see false religion and immorality, in many cases, an obviously clear link. And what we also see is when that which is called Christian degenerates into that which is no longer the Christianity of the Bible, what do you almost always find in connection with it? Immorality. Encouraged. Excused. Justified. Defended. So now we have major Christian denominations in America that are arguing over the ordination of homosexuals as clergymen. How did we get to that point? Well, we didn't jump from biblical morality to that point in one big step. There were a lot of incremental steps along the way, and what really is obvious is that little by little by little, the denominational churches of America, among others, but we'll just talk about those for a moment, began to lower the standard on biblical morality. Instead of requiring church members to live according to biblical standards of morality, various forms of biblical immorality were tolerated. Whether we're talking about serial marriage, divorce and remarriage, and divorce and remarriage, and divorce and remarriage, and divorce and remarriage, without any Any question about whether these divorces are on biblical grounds or not? A big subject, I know. I'm not going to get into that now. We'll have to save that for another day, if at all. A very controversial and touchy subject, but nevertheless, no concern about that whatsoever. No investigation. Is this a biblically warranted divorce? And if not, we must object. We must insist that you not do that. We must bring church discipline if you are going to violate biblical morality. And, of course, adultery going on among church members and commonly known and overlooked, winked at. It just becomes a matter of gossip in the congregation, but there seems to be no church sanction against it. People living together without benefit of marriage, allowed into the church, the church is for sinners. We've got to allow these people to come. We're not talking about whether we allow sinners to attend church to hear the Word of God. We're talking about whether they are invited into the membership of the church, whether they are allowed to be in the membership of the church, whether the church has any standards for its membership or not. And, of course, when it doesn't, then it's only a matter of time before there are no standards for the leaders of the church, the officers of the church, the ministers of the church. We didn't get there overnight. We didn't get there in one step. It was a whole lot of gradual steps over a period of decades, but where we are now ought to scream to us that something is wrong. It ought to be waving red flags at us that something is terribly, terribly wrong. And it ought to show us that where you have a departure from biblical Christianity, sound doctrine, you very soon, along with it, have a departure from biblical morality. What are we talking about? We're talking about the relationship between idolatry and immorality, false religion and immorality. And I'm suggesting to you that where you find immorality allowed, where you find immorality encouraged, either openly encouraged or encouraged by refusing to confront it and correct it, there you will find that not only has morality been corrupted, but Bible doctrine has been corrupted as well. In other words, what you will find upon closer examination is that you no longer have biblical Christianity either in theology or in morality. You don't have it either in doctrine or in Christian living. They go together. They rise and fall together. Where you have a serious approach to biblical doctrine, you have a serious approach to Christian living and biblical morality. Where you compromise one, you compromise the other. And it's hard to tell which comes first, the chicken or the egg. It's hard to tell which comes first, a declension in sound doctrine or a declension in sound living. But they go together. Where you allow immorality and encourage it, then defects in Christian doctrine will soon follow. Where you allow defection in Christian doctrine, then immorality will soon follow. Oh, may God help us. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.